more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
We are on the air now. Okay, we are live. This is 1320 WILS. We're just getting used to the system here. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Great to have you here. Today, we're going to talk, of course, about the big press conference. Mark D'Antonio holding the press conference, confirming that three MSU football players are no longer members of the team now that they face charges related to the sexual assault that occurred earlier this year. Let's begin, though, with a new report looking at home builders. And, you know, you'd think the housing market is doing very well, but it's not when it comes to home builders. In fact, their new report out today titled "Housing Challenges Threaten Our Economic Growth, Where Will 10 Million Michiganders Live?" Bob Filka is the CEO of the Michigan Home Builders Association, or the Home Builders Association of Michigan. Bob, great to have you on WILS. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
thanks for having me,
great
Michael.
To have you here. So yeah, we're just getting things started here. Hey, Bob, tell me this. I mean, the housing market's doing so well. What would you say the same goes for home builders right now?
Well, yeah, I think home builders are doing well. In fact, I think as we talked last time, sentiment for home builders in terms of business that they have in the pipeline is really, really strong. The issue for our state, which is really highlighted in this report that we released today, is long-term, the types of homes that builders are building today ultimately will lead to shortages in kind of the starter and mid-level entry point home market for the state, that there's a really a growing shortage of quality housing options for people who maybe are looking for a starter home, a mid-level, like again, maybe initial move-up home. Those mid-level price ranges, no one, and I'm speaking generally, because there are pockets of development in different parts of the state where you see some of that activity, but at a macro level, the state is veering toward a point which it will have some dramatic shortages. In fact, some communities are seeing it today. We were down in Coldwater last week where they have a severe housing shortage. They've got a new plant coming in there, 1,000 new jobs, and they have no housing options really for those workers who are going to be working in their community.
What's keeping home builders from getting out there and building these new buildings?
Well, it's really at that lower price point. Right. I mean, the market is, and that's the point that we're stressing in this report, is that the industry has changed fundamentally, that with material price increases, if communities want to be able to attract housing investment for all of its citizens, then they really need to start looking at that investment like they might any other economic development type of need that they have for their community.
So what are you saying? Communities need to subsidize some of these lower housing costs?
Well, in some instances, it may require that. I know in Coldwater, they are talking about that, only homes to be built in that community.
Well, what happened? I mean, the builders were able to do this years ago. Why is it not? Why is it not economical for them to do it now?
Again, because of the various kind of the perfect storm, if you will, that has kind of hit the industry. Okay. Labor costs have risen. Material costs have risen.
By that much, you're saying?
Yes, I have. Yes, it has. I mean, in terms of the plus it's basic economics. You know, Michael, when you talk about the demand for those higher end homes, the reality is we just don't have builders who are focused on that smaller market right now, because the other market at that higher end there's plenty of demand and growth for those types of homes.
When you talk about labor costs, like what are they now compared to 10, 20 years ago?
Well, you know, it depends by market. I mean, we're seeing, you know, carpenters, let's take trim carpenters, for example. I mean, in some markets, those wages may be $20, $25 an hour. In other markets, they may be $35, $40, $50 an hour right now. So it really... we're seeing all kinds of fluctuations in wages and wage growth, and that works for a while. But the reality is, if you don't have a supply of continual trades folks coming into the the marketplace to work, then you have a challenge. I mean, we have the average age of a plumber in Michigan is 58, and that's a pretty old average age for a key trade for our building industry.
So you're saying now, if you're a plumber in Michigan, you can get a job no problem?
Yes.
Just like that, okay. And so
a licensed plumber can get work anywhere.
And you're making 25 to what? How much does a plumber make an hour? What kind of numbers is that?
Oh, well, you're going to put me on the spot for wage
data. We're talking
well
over $25 an hour, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So what's the issue? I mean, if you've got all this money that you can make, we've certainly got people that need jobs. Why are we having an issue getting people into these positions?
Well, I think we've been in a period where we went through a housing recession, where many schools got rid of their construction career tech training programs. And we lost the whole, and we also had a movement where everybody's got to go to college. And so we lost an entire generation because parents and families and students and counselors and teachers weren't looking at this sector as really an opportunity for the kids that were coming to school. And so we lost the whole generation. And so we need to recover from that in part. And that's going to take time. And so there's going to be some dysfunction in the marketplace while that sorts itself out. So that's really what we're saying is in many respects, if you look at the report, we're trying to explain the condition of the industry so that we can really engage in a dialogue with local economic developers, local communities about what is needed to attract housing investment to their community.
Okay. And right now you said if it's not a $300,000 home, home builders just can't afford to get involved in that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would say simply that there's such high demand for homes that are in that price range and above that when you look at a capacity issue in terms of how many homes and how much activity can the industry currently absorb, what does it have the capacity to build? Mm-hmm. If you have high demand for all those types of homes, that's where the market's going to move because that the return on investment's higher. And so it's not that no one will do these types of projects. It's that the opportunity exists at that high end, and there's a limited number of builders, contractors, subcontractors out there and capital. So in that environment, the world's changed, and that's really what we want communities to understand is that the world's changed. We don't want communities to get passed by. We need to be looking and thinking, and we need local leaders. The one analogy I've been using is, it takes nothing for communities don't think anything of really saying, hey, we've got to come together to attract that new GM investment or that this next other job creating investment. I think everybody recognizes the need to come together and collaborate to attract that kind of investment. What we're saying is that same type of focus and energy from an economic development perspective has to really be focused on housing if communities want to have the housing options they need.
So you're talking about essentially tax breaks, right? That's what it's going to take?
No, not at all. Not necessarily. I think there is a huge, if you look at the land development process, it should take less than a year. And in many communities across the state today, mm-hmm. it can take 2, 3, 4 years. And that's another issue that we're dealing with.
Two, three, four years. What is it? I mean, why does it take so long?
Because you have to go through various reviews and studies, engineering studies. You have to many times get ordinances, change zoning. You may have assembled property that requires a zoning change.
If we're going to go through the process, how do you actually speed that up to get that to a year window?
Well, what we're suggesting is that there are some communities that have figured it out, have done it really well. They do online types of document submittals and reviews. They have clear timelines for processing. And so as you'll see in our report, one of the key recommendations is that our housing authority, along with the MEDC, conduct a benchmarking analysis and do a best practices study of what are the best methods, what are the leaders in terms of communities, what are they doing in terms of improving their process. I mean,
which communities would you say are doing that?
Well, I'm not sure there's anyone that's doing it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, but at the same time, we're not looking to we're not looking to throw anybody under the bus and point fingers. We're saying we need to partner with you. We need, and we also recognize that many communities may not even, they may be unwittingly discouraging investment just because of the systems that have grown and evolved over time. Right. And we're saying step back from those and maybe re-engineer your process. Quite frankly, right. That more than tax breaks will do more than anything to help the housing industry.
Bob Filka, Chief Executive Officer of the Home Builders Association of Michigan, right here on WILS. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Michael.